हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 9. So, no longer seeing Urvasi on his bed, Pururava was most aggrieved. Because of his great attraction for her, he was very much disturbed. Thus lamenting, he began traveling about the earth like a madman. Once during his travels all over the world, Pururava saw Urvasi, accompanied by 5 companions, on the bank of the Saraswati at Kurukshetra. With jubilation in his face, he then spoke to her in sweet words as follows. My dear wife, O most cruel one, kindly stay, kindly stay. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. O goddess, now that you have refused me, my beautiful body will fall down here, and because it is unsuitable for your pleasure, it will be eaten by foxes and vultures. Urvasi said, My dear king, you are a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There's no use making friendship with women. Right, so all these kind of points that are made about, you know, the nature of women and all that, you'll notice they're always spoken by women. Because if they weren't, then we'd say, oh, that's just his opinion or this or that. So like this. So this is one of them. In Bhagavatam, you have one. I think Nard Muni talking with Rumba Devi, that's another one. And there's a few like that. I think 2 of them are with Nard Muni.
Like that.
Pingala also, yes, Pingala also. That's so there's 2 in the Bhagavatam. Yes.
Urvashi is a society girl, so whatever she's speaking, you know, about the nature of a woman, it refers to the prostitutes, not to the general woman.
Nope. She's speaking generically.
Generic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the fun part. Means, in other words, one has to know what you're working with. Just like for the men, then the point is his senses get out of control and in connection with women and all that, and then he doesn't feel that there's any value in life without that connection to women, like that. So that she's speaking on there is that, you know, you're a man, you're a hero, so don't be impatient. That's the thing. The man, he wants something that happens now. He shouldn't be impatient. Women are impatient. That's another thing. Like you'll see, when he talks about it, it doesn't talk about that part of women. Those are just the standard accepted parts that you can't do much about. But these parts are the parts that then you know, all men and women can work on. Right? So it may be as the prostitutes, it's the most extreme, but it's the same principle. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Could you kindly explain the psychology that she's going through? Obviously, she's performing her activities out of her enjoyment, but yet also she understands the philosophy. So is it that she's just focused on her enjoyment, and then when someone else is trying to chase after, then she gives the philosophy?
No, it's just that here's a man who's, you know, sincerely committed and all that, but at the same time as... the relationship's just not meant to be, so she's just speaking very plainly. Means women will do that occasionally, means be direct. It's not that what they're not speaking all the time isn't of value or that, but it's not often that it'll be direct because of the nature of being, you know, elusive or shy or contrary. So now and again you'll see they speak extremely direct, but that's not just another phase or another aspect. That should be taken seriously, because when they're direct, that's what it is. That's what they're talking about all the times when they're being indirect. It's just to give a clearance. So because of, you know, she spent time with them, and that, so then out of that concern, now she's saying in this way, because she's from the heavenly planets, he's from the earth, it's only because of the curse that she was here. But she's speaking for his benefit like this. But it's included in the Bhagavatam because this story doesn't have to be here. It just says he was mad after her and made some arrangement, like in the Adhyaya Prakashika. You know, that's all that's necessary. But more is given because of the clarity that there is in what you're dealing with. Because the point is men should know what they're dealing with, women should know what they're dealing with. Because the point is we aren't the body, right? We're dealing with conditioned nature. So if you want to have an effect, then you have to know what you're dealing with. Just like if I go into the kitchen and pick up a grater, if I don't know it's a grater, then how will I, you know, peel the potatoes, slice the potatoes? Right, I could take the grater and, you know, rub it and get the peel off and then, you know, try to get more. And, you know, you could do. You know, does that make sense? You know, like you could take a shopping cart to work, you know, get on the back and kind of push, roll down the hills. It'd be a bit tough uphill, but hey, all your you know, bags fit in, you know, your briefcase and your backpack and, you know, your extra tracksuit for the gym. It all fits inside, so hey, it's got great advantages. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Right, so she's saying, he's saying, I'll fall down, the foxes will eat me. But he's saying, you know, don't let the women who have a heart like a fox eat you. Right? Because the point is one's not supposed to be attached like that. Means, you can say, socially one's attached, but one technically shouldn't actually be attached. Right? Does that make sense? That actually works, because the point is socially attachment is the one that creates security. That must be there. That will be what will be constantly tested. But actually attached, technically, it's not what the women want, because then if one's attached, then one is completely controlled, and then what's the fun? The fun is something you don't have. Right? The women aren't in anxiety about what they have. They're in anxiety about what they don't have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, wow, I have 20 saris that I really want, but there's 10 more that I don't have. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is when you have that element of what is not obtained. So that's the balance. That's why it says spiritual husband. Because actually he's not attached, but he behaves and acts as if he is on that social dealings. So that makes it comfortable for the interaction between husband and wife. But at the same time, there's something still there. Because what's the saying about it being all about the chase?
It says that it's all about the chase.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that the social, it's there, so there's security, but the other part is not there, so there's always the chase.
I had this conversation with someone, and they asked the question about, how is this not cheating, that you're pretending to be attached?
And how are they not cheating? They're a bag of stool, pus and urine, and then putting on some cologne and trying to make it look good. You know what I'm saying? They're not the body, they're the soul. So anything they're doing is cheating. If you're conditioned, you are cheating. You do have imperfect senses. You are making mistakes. You are illusioned. So this is just things that they say to satisfy their attachment that they don't even have. Because people who actually have a relationship where they're attached will understand this. Because they understand there's more. It's people who don't have it, they'll complain because it's what they want. So for them, it's a goal. But for those who are advanced in the Vedic culture, this is just the situation you're in. You know, it's just like, it's, let's say, our goal to be in the 5-star hotel. But for rich people, that's just a situation. You're always in a 5-star hotel. It means, where else are you going to be? So that's the difference, is that we look at, no, but that's a goal. You have to, you know, that we want reality. We want this and that. Yeah, and you're going to tell me that that person who says that this is cheating, this is not real, has never seen a drama or watched a movie? And all the way through, this is cheating, that's lying. He's just an actor. He doesn't actually love her. He's just making a show. Is he doing that? No, at the end he goes, great movie. You know what I'm saying? Everything's a lie. On the billboard, it's a lie. Everything's a lie. What's not a lie? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. What is not a lie? And then they'll say, oh, but it's not real. That's because they don't know how to play a part, their part. You know? Does that make sense? You know, and in this modern world, actors are considered, they're given a very high place. You know? Musicians, they're playing their guitar. Do they have to move their head like that to play the guitar? It's that their fingers connected, so when they move their head down, their finger goes down, so every time they have to do that to get the you know what I'm saying? If you look back in the 50s, they just sat there and just played, just stand straight, smile at each other, you know, they're having a good time.
Different music. Different vibes.
But rock started then. Yeah, only Elvis started the, you know, the whole thing, because that was different, you know. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that what's not a lie? So the Vedic is actually talking reality. But the point is, as you play your part, it goes well, like any good drama. Everyone, you know, appreciates a good drama if it's done right. Good actors, everything's done well, everything's appropriate, timing's good. So that's what we're talking about, how to get that properly. Like that. So in other words, if he doesn't have that attachment, that's the only interest that's there. Otherwise, he wouldn't have any interest. But we're talking about beyond impersonalism. Is that you don't have an attachment, but you can work with it. That only devotees can do. So that means the person who says this doesn't understand this, the transcendental position. They only understand the Mayavad position. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So it'd be right to say that they're focusing on the Dharma just for the artha.
No, they're focusing on the artha. They're not even focusing on Dharma, because it's not that they're supposed to be. They're not quoting from Shastra, I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Because if it's supposed to, you're supposed to behave in that way. Because as we said, if the man is totally attached to the woman and can't function without her, and that, what's the fun for the woman? What's the gain for the woman? You know what I'm saying? It's the newness, the freshness, the excitement. So that's why in the Vedic is that we see in the dealings of Krishna with his queens, even though they're, you know, 125 years old and they've been married for the last, you know, 100 plus years, it's still new and fresh because of this very point. Krishna acts like a henpecked husband, does everything perfectly like that, but the wives know he's totally not. That's the whole thing. Because he's not, then they're always endeavoring to make him that way. But they can't make him that way. But he acts as if he is. That's the balance one wants. So that's why you always see, she's asking, control his senses. Why? That's the first principle of men. Controlled and sensitive. So he's being sensitive, he's not being controlled. Right. Does that make sense?
So that's where the rasa comes in, right?
Yes.
She's acting like that. She knows you can't, and then it's
doing yeah. But it's not a game that you know that you're doing this and let's make it better, because that means then you are attached and you want that. No, this is the duty. This is what you're supposed to do. You know, it's just like in the play. If the guy's sitting, wow, I'm really delivering these lines great, and hey, aren't I doing a great job, and hey, watch that, and the next line they'll really clap. Who wants to watch that actor? Nobody. Right? You know, it's not even worth, you know, buying cabbages to throw at them, because cabbage is too expensive these days. You know?
So that would be like the enjoying propensities to yes. try to do the act to try to get that.
Yeah,
that flavor.
So that nobody likes those kind of actors. Unless it's a variety show, and then they can do that. Because it's short. You only have to watch them for 3 minutes anyway, so they can do all that. But if it's going to be serious, then no one wants that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Like after you perform your duties and it goes well, you become attached.
That's the fun part about the process, is that if that's understood, then you cannot be attached. It'll be comfortable because you have to perform duties, and so it'll be comfortable to perform those duties in that relationship. But it's still not that you become attached. But the point is that because of that comfortableness, because it works nicely, then the devotee will view it as attachment. That's why then Yudhishthira and all these others who are acting like this, then they'll say, you know, we're attached householders and this and that. Just means it works, so they're comfortable doing acting in that capacity. Like that. But if the woman becomes attached, it's not a problem. Right? That's why you're supposed to see he's a spiritual husband. So if you're attached to him, he goes back to Godhead. Even if nothing else out of just mundane attachment, one's attached to the husband, one will go back to Godhead. Right? But if the husband has mundane attachment, then he ends up, you know, being one of the, what do you call it? What was she? Companions of Urvasi here. Yeah? And then next life he can, you know, give it a shot. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so the whole point is that's there, so it's just comfortable to work with. That's the difference between the Uttama and the Madhyama, is that Madhyama is comfortable in working with this conditioning. Because it's there, you know what it is, it just works, he's comfortable with it. Not that he's attached to it, but he's comfortable with that. While the Uttama, that's not even a consideration. It's just, that's what you have, that's what you use. You know, it's just like you go into a first-class kitchen, you use the things that you need to use to cook. The Madhyama will prefer this pot, that pot, because it works so well. But not that he's attached to the pot, but he's attached to that pot, what it can do. Does that make sense? While the neophyte will be attached to that kitchen, that facility, that whole thing, they'll identify with it like that. Is that yeah.
So if you like, relate this with like our body, that we're given our karma, you're just kind of like going through the motions, going through the duty, and then you do your internal work.
Yes, but the motions are better than any attached, focused materialist. Because if you're not attached to something, you can see it in the clearest light. Right? Even the modern concept, if you see it objectively, that's considered superior than subjectively. So that means is that if one is not on the bodily platform, he can see it from an objective point. Right? It's not a technique of artha to get done what I want. Oh, I'm not this body, so then I get the artha I want. I'm not this body, so then what's the next question? What is the body? Because as Maharaj Nimi, was pointed out by the acharyas, the devotee doesn't care what kind of body he has. He just needs a body to do service to Krishna. So according to what that body is, that's the service you do. Yeah. Right? Spiritual world, you have your spiritual body. That matches the spiritual nature of the living entity. So therefore, there won't be any difference there between them and their body. Right? But in the material world, then according to the conditioning or what stage you are in the progress in material life, then whatever you have, that's what you work with. Right? You know, someone who's someone who's good on the material platform can only work with what's good. Someone who's expert is only expert because of having best quality materials and situations and everything, and they know how to arrange it. But someone who's better than that, who's on the platform, the master, they can work with anything. You know what I'm saying? Give a first-class kitchen to an expert cook, he'll do something good. But just give anything to someone who's a master. Right? I mentioned before, there was a cooking show. I'm not sure if it was Jamie Oliver or one of these guys. He would go down to the supermarket, regular supermarket, not, you know, a fancy high-end, just ordinary supermarket. And he would go up to one of the shoppers there, one of the ladies or that, as they're going to the till, right, to pay. And then he would say, introduce who he is, and that he's offering to come over to their house, and whatever's in the basket, you know, he'll use that to cook with. Right? Because what he's trying to do is get people to improve the quality of their daily cooking. You understand? So that's the point. He's the master. He'll take whatever's in that basket and turn it into something fabulous. That's a master. Nowadays, you have people that parrot what experts say, but generally can't even, you know, figure out how to open a tinny. Right?
So with these, would that be like the master when they are able to do that? In these situations, he's cultivating some like high form of mode of goodness. Would be
pure goodness.
Pure goodness.
He's using goodness, but he's functioning in pure goodness. Because goodness means in the material platform, it's goodness predominantly, but there's some passion and ignorance. So pure goodness means that same goodness without passion and ignorance. That's why those working in the mode of goodness, what's recommended by Shastra, and those who are functioning in pure goodness on the transcendental platform, the activities are exactly the same. Because the activities we do are the activities in goodness. We're just giving up passion and ignorance, getting to goodness. But there's still a touch of passion and ignorance there. But by devotional service, we're trying to get to the platform of pure goodness. So that's why the activities are the same. That's why we put emphasis on following what's authority and making it practical for the situation. Means it's about pleasing Krishna, it's not about what you're using. But at the same time, in not about what you're using, if that doesn't give an opening for it's not about what you're using, therefore I can use whatever I like to use and prefer that rather than Krishna. You know what I'm saying? We're modern people, we like to use modern stuff. That's attachment. That's not what this point is. This point is it doesn't matter. So whatever you have, that's what you use. And so naturally you will choose from what's available the best what you can. Right? You go into the store, you pick out the best potatoes. You don't pick the funky ones with things growing off and they're half rotten and all that. And then say, Yuktivai Rugya Prabhu. You know? My mom always cooked these ones, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very important. Otherwise, this point gets misapplied. Misunderstood, misapplied. So?
The horse in the Gurukul, what is her name?
The horse in the Gurukul.
What is her name?
And what does that have to do with this?
I was just curious.
No, but just being curious, this is not the time for it. That's outside of this time. Questions should be in line with the topic matter. Otherwise, we'll get distracted. You know, interesting topic, but then we'll get distracted and everyone else will come up. So if it's ever a question answered, then you can do anything you want. Okay. Okay. In other words, you should... Okay. My dear, don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Right? So he's talking about eaten by foxes. It's the senses that will eat them by foxes. Right? Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like a fox. There's no use making friendship with women, Srila Prabhupada comments. Chanakya Pandit has advice. Vishvaso naiva kartavyas strishu raja kuleshu cha. Never place your faith in a woman or a politician. unless elevated to spiritual consciousness, everyone is conditioned and fallen, what to speak of women, who are less intelligent than men. Women have been compared to shudras and vaishyas, striyo vaishyas tata shudras. Bhagavad Gita 9.32. On the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, woman, shudra, or whatever, everyone is equal.
Whatever.
Especially today, whatever. Yeah. Otherwise, Urvasi, who was a woman herself and who knew the nature of women, said that a woman's heart is like that of a sly fox. If a man cannot control his senses, he becomes a victim of such sly foxes. But if one can control the senses, there's no chance of it being victimized by sly, fox-like women. Chanakya Pandit has also advised that if one has a wife like a sly fox, he must immediately give up his life at home and go to the forest. Chanakya Shloka 57. Krishna-conscious grihasthas must be very careful of the sly fox women. If the wife at home is obedient and follows her husband in Krishna consciousness, the home is welcome. Otherwise, one should give up one's home and go to the forest. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yad varim asrayeta. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. One should go to the forest and take shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so the idea is that one's supposed to be God conscious. And if one is, then one goes beyond all these various aspects that are here. But if one doesn't, then what's the benefit? So going to the forest means going and taking shelter of the Lord. Right? So that's like for us, the forest of Vrindavan, the forest of Mayapur, that's what it's for. It doesn't mean get out of this marriage and go find another lady. That's not what it means. It means you either go to the forest with your wife, or if you don't go with your wife, then you've given up being with women. That's the principle. It's not a easy out for irresponsible men who don't know, untrained men who don't know what they're doing. That's not what this is all about. This means is that, because if the woman is God-conscious, then she doesn't have a heart like a fox. But if she's not God-conscious, then she will. To what degree it'll be manifest depends on the training, the individual, how expert one is in dealing, all these different things. So, but if one's Krishna-conscious, one doesn't have this problem, one goes on performing devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, on the material platform, this is the reality. On the spiritual platform, then, to that degree, then this goes away.
Ma,
yes?
Sometimes men say that they should not refuse a woman who is asking for protection.
Uh-huh. And?
According to what you said about the forest. And.
But that's for grihasthas. That's not for vanaprasthas. Okay. Right? You know, otherwise, you know, it's like I say, boss baby would have a harem. No? Means, then, how many girls would the boy collect, in nursery school or grade school? You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is it's just a cheap way of just, in other words, we pick and choose what we like out of the Vedas. We catch that part very nicely. But what about this part about controlling your senses? Your senses like foxes, don't let them eat you. Right? So the thing is yes, if you're a grihastha, then it's within the duty of that. But if you're in brahmacharya vanaprastha sannyas, then what's the meaning of that? Right? Does that make sense? So then giving shelter to Krishna consciousness means like this and that, preaching Krishna consciousness, that's okay. But in that context there, that's said with that funny little smug, look on their face. And then the other thing is okay, you're going to protect, but how well can you protect? Are you going to take care of everything and all the facility? Because if you're vanaprast and the woman you're talking about, is she also like a vanaprast? And if she is, okay, then something can be considered. But if she's in the grihastha environment, then what are you going to do like that?
Going back.
Yeah, but even going back is how much patience the old guy has. You know, Prabhupada says after 35, men don't have so much tolerance for crying babies. That's at 35. Yeah, so as it goes, the length it gets more. You know, so the whole thing is, and then is it going to be every woman? And so what does the woman he's with feel about the other woman who wants to also be given shelter? You know, how is he going to do? So the whole thing is it's just cheap talk like before. It's based on sense gratification. So it's not actually based on duties and knowledge. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Urvasi continued. Okay. She has three of these verses. Right? Women as a class are merciless and cunning. They cannot tolerate even a slight offense. For their own pleasure, they can do anything irreligious, and therefore they do not fear killing even a faithful husband or brother. Srila Prabhupada comments. King Puru Rava was greatly attached to Urvasi, yet despite his faithfulness to her, she had left him. Now, considering that the king was wasting his rarely achieved human form of life, Urvasi frankly explained the nature of a woman. Because of her nature, a woman can respond to even a slight offense from her husband by not only leaving him, but even killing him if required. Right? Means, why would you kill? It's a messy business, right? So, means if you don't need to, why would you? But if it's required, then, you know, the woman is willing to go through any, you know, any difficulty to, like that. You know, means they're thorough. That's why it says merciless. Merciless cunning means it's effective. To say nothing of her husband, she can even kill her brother. That is the woman's nature. Therefore, in the material world, unless women are trained to be chaste and faithful to their husbands, there cannot be peace or prosperity in society. Right? So if they're trained, this becomes very much, very controlled. If they become devotees, then basically this goes away. But if they're not trained, then this is basically what you're dealing with. So it's just a matter of how much of that is allowed. It's just become normal. They're with some guy, drop him, go off with some other guy, like that. You know, and just, if they get dropped, then it's the whole thing, all these men, all this, this, and that. But the girl goes through guys, then no one can say boo. Is there a complaint? Oh, women just go through guys. No. But if men do that, oh, you know, he's so bad, he's so... You understand? So that's the whole thing. It's just very nicely hidden. But the modern society, this is what goes on. But it's just accepted because there's the possibility, maybe, in that you'll get something out of it. Right? So that's why it's left. So it's a real mishmash. Right? So not actually proper. So this is what is it, yeah. Yes.
This is the inherent nature of a woman.
Yes. So without training, this is what you're looking at. That's why that was our comment yesterday. The girls who go out on the road, then what do they actually get?
Experience.
Hmm?
Experience.
Experience, but experience in what?
In life.
In life, but a life as being alone. Like that, yeah, okay. That's, you can say that, yes. The modern woman has good experience how to be alone. Like that, so, yeah, that you'd have to hand it to them. That's it. Yes.
How would the training look like for girls?
Training means trained in the religious principles, what's proper, how to behave, like Prabhupada mentioned here. Chaste and faithful. Like that. Be satisfied. That's the two main points that are made. Chastity and satisfaction for the girls, and sense control and sensitivity for the boys. Sensitivity means to the needs of others, not you know. Yeah. We'll leave everybody to their own one-liners to, you know, express this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the main thing. So how to do all the different things, how to deal, how to behave in a way that's cultured. So chaste basically means cultured. Because if it's sticking to the man, you're sticking to the rules, you're sticking to whatever's to be done. It's all the same thing. It's all the same training. So that's why modern will be thought, okay, when she turns of age, then we'll talk about chastity. But the principle is to stick to what it is you're supposed to do. You have a responsibility, you deal with that. You be satisfied with that. That you can train from the very beginning. Does that make sense? And then when it gets to that age, then it applies there also. So, yes.
So sensitivity for the man means to put others before yourself.
Yeah, others before yourself according to what is the appropriate behavior. Right? What's the behavior? What means who are you, who are they, what's the actual point of interaction, how you're supposed to deal, and what would be required by them in this, like that. So it's not just a sentimental, it's based on Shastra, it's Dharma. Because if it's just others before yourself, that's Upadharma. That's sub-religion, that's Artha. Because if it's others before yourself, then if everybody's doing that, the society will go on nicely and everybody is prosperous. Dharma means this is what you're supposed to do because, you know, you are in this position there and that how you should deal with them. It's different, it's a higher level.
So first you have to understand your position in society.
Yeah, because if you don't know who you are, how do you go? That's the whole thing. Brahmachari means this. This, you know, grihastha means this. Vanaprastha like this. So, but the modern, oh no, we don't care about all these things, means I don't care about an identity that's Vedic, I only care about an identity that whatever my identity is. I don't want to give up my false identity for these motive goodness identities. I like my motive passion and ignorance identity. So I don't want to give that up. Therefore, because of that identity, that's why I do what I do, prefer what I do, like to do what I do. And so, and I don't want to give that up. I don't mind adding Krishna in, you know. Does that make sense? You know, I'm taking my bath anyway, and if I put in a few bubbles, hey, great. But it's not that I'm going to change, you know. You understand? So that's the difficulty. So the Vedic means you're giving up the false identity, and then you're accepting an identity based on the mode of goodness. But you have to be careful. That's only a value if used for Krishna. That's why it's said. It's one of the 10 forms of liberating yourself from material existence. But if it's not done in connection with Krishna, even that's useless. It's just a mode of goodness waste of time rather than a mode of passion or ignorance waste of time. But a mode of goodness waste of time is much greater and better than a mode of passion and ignorance. You can't equate them. People like to do that. Oh, America's a country and India's a country, so they're both countries, so they're the same. No. You know, India is the place where it's always been the center of the Vedic culture, and America was, you know, a little less than that. You know what I'm saying? So like that. That's the whole thing, is that one has to be understand why one's doing things. Does that make sense?
So, could you restate what sensitivity is in like one sentence?
Acting according to the other person's nature and your position in relationship with them. You know, what's appropriate.
So when you say nature, you mean varna?
No, it means whatever it is. Varna, ashram, masculine, feminine, adult, child, you know, I say. Cat, you know, I say. What are they called? Those monster lizards. The kimono dragon, you know, like that. You know what it is. You know the nature, so therefore, you know how to deal. Does that make sense? So that's what it means. Okay. Urvasi continued. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends, one after another. Srila Prabhupada comments, because women are easily seduced, Manusamhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected, either by her father, by her husband, or by her elderly son. Women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvasi, is to establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. Right, so that's the whole point, is why this is given, is because this point has been mentioned now, I think, at least three times. About the sincere will, because point is, it's not that he does a great job and he's doing everything perfectly, and that's what's going to, the woman herself has to want to be protected, because Manu makes that point, you can't protect a woman who doesn't want to be protected, right? But if she wants to be, because as it mentioned before, they're much more, they're merciless, they're cunning, they're so much more clever than men. So if they want to be protected, then with their trying and then with the help of the support of the man, it will work. If they're not interested, it doesn't matter what the man does, they'll figure out how to get out of it.
So it means false friendship. She tries to establish, that means she doesn't want to be protected, in short?
No. She just creates a friendship because of what benefit you can get from it. Yeah, you know, guy's got a nice yacht. She's never been out on a big yacht. You know, and once you've done that and figured out, you get seasick out there, you get sunburned, and you know the men out there on the yacht are just as much jerks as they are on the land. Then you're not friends anymore. You know, and you go back to the nightclub where you won't get sunburned. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole, if the training's not there, then this is the nature. We can say, oh no, but that's the modern society. Not every girl is doing that, but it's acceptable in society. You know what I'm saying? Considered more developed, more advanced. It means there's those who have more principles than that, and they'll say it's bad, but that generally come from some tradition, from religion, and people say that's old-fashioned. And there's tons of people who think like that. In fact, a lot more than those who don't wish to acknowledge. But the point is it's still coming from religion. What is the actual duty? What's the nature of something? Like that. But otherwise, in the modern, what they speak is, no, everybody can do whatever they like, and this and that, and yes, it gives that. The men are thinking, yeah, it's cool, because then you can get any lady, but what they don't catch is, in that, those kind of ladies, they're not going to stick with you anyway. You know, unless it's just so much better than anything else. If she doesn't come across anything better, then you have a shot. But if she comes across something better, then, nice, eh? Winner takes all. Yeah, so it's not going to work out. And the winner is the lady.
So would it be correct in saying that our misconception, because a lot of the time, especially in the West, when I'm discussing with, you know, very prominent leaders, preachers, whenever it comes to these types of purports, a lot of the time they're coming up and saying, how do we package this right now? They're trying to.
It's not about everything's packaged. Why these ones are packaged? Yeah. Every verse, it means, is talking about the importance of the holy name. How are you going to package that so that devotees take it? So why is it only these verses are packaged? You know, packaging is for every purport. You're packaging according to whoever you're speaking to. That's called preaching. But they're thinking, oh, these are a problem. These are a problem for what? Just your you know, whatever it is that you're comfortable with. You know? The point is when devotees were really, you know, young, dynamic and everything, they didn't worry about these verses. How often do you come across this verse like that? Because before it was, who was sitting in the Bhagavatam class in the temple, they had faith. So you didn't have to worry about it. And to the karmis, are we going to bring up this verse? That's the first verse.
Yes.
Just meet the person on the street. Well, you know, Urvasi says, you know, like that. Is that going to be your opening statement? You know?
So actually, real equality is knowing the difference, not trying to make everything the same.
Making everything the same means you don't have the intelligence to deal with each thing according to their nature. So even though we say as no, everyone's an individual, but they're deathly afraid of dealing individually. Because when they talk about, you know, what about, you know, the women? Who's the woman? It's women in general. So there's no distinction. There's no specialness. How can any woman be happy in that environment? Because she's just another face in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? It's not actually personal. They think it's personal. You know, it's just like what you said here. What would you say about doing for others and not... What? How did you word that?
Considering others before yourself.
But who are those others? You understand? That's the thing. That's impersonal. We don't catch it. Practically everything we say is impersonal in the modern platform. Because who's this others? You know? And unless we, you know, okay, they're on that island and not on this island. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you have the ice wall and they're the ones on that side and we're on this side. Or, you know, some variety of others. You know?
Why would you consider those? Why would you even consider those?
Because if they come this side, then there's a problem.
Yeah, so your mind, when you're dealing with individuals, it will place them in the others category, and you just see them through that.
That's there, but if you're dealing with someone, but you have to apply it, but how much do they want to apply? Oh, I can't get into this. It says too much. It's too trippy. It's too... But hey, you just said all about, you know, all this nice stuff, so that's the whole point. It's impersonal. The modern liberal thing is presented as very personal and very this and that because it sounds good and that's what people want to hear. And you can feel good that you said it. But in reality, it's just straight up front and personal. They don't care about anybody. So, you know, it's just like what Urvasi is saying right here. Right? And so if men are attached to women, they become like women, so therefore then these qualities apply to them also. Yeah, it gets scary.
Does it get any simpler after that?
No. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that you want to move forward, then this is how it works. This is what has to be understood. But if things are going, this is in the background. But you know if this is what it is, then you make the arrangements that everything goes nicely. Right? Is it a problem that we baby-proof a house? No, is that, oh, like that, you're just putting your child in a category there, and what about, you know, what about him as an individual? You know, you're saying he's not, he's stupid and he has no brains and all that. You know, you could go on and on and on. But because babies, you know, if there's no railing, they fall off. If it's sharp, they cut themselves. If it breaks, they'll break it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it works. Like Prabhupada mentions, children break their toys. It's just part of being a child. They'll play with it till it breaks. You know, because they have to try this and try that. And, you know, does that make sense? And then after it breaks, they go, okay, fix it. You know, because they did that. That was fun. Then break it again. Then fix it. No? And then when you can't fix it, why? You broke it. Yeah, so now fix it. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is it's, we don't mind that. So that's the whole thing is why? Because it's concerning all about the child. So if you have these considerations about women, so it's all about women, how to make it nice for them. That's the whole point. The man's thinking, it'll be nice for them, nice for me, or it's nice for me to have them. But the point is being with women means making it nice for them. That's what men do. You know what I'm saying? And because they're taken care of nicely, then they reciprocate very nicely. But that's what it means. But the modern thing is the man just, I'm doing my thing and add women to it. No, it's just, you have to, what you're doing has to be about the women.
I think it's the opposite nowadays.
Hmm?
She's the opposite nowadays, huh? Women, it's, what they do when they add men.
Yeah, that's there. That's what Urvasi's talking about. It's just this. The women just add some. How's that?
Furniture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, some furniture. Like that. That, yeah. What about more like rug? And not wall to wall, but throw rug? You know, whenever you want, roll it up, stick it in the closet. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, modern, organic, natural, disposable rugs. Yeah. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, therefore, it's all about women. We're saying, oh, the Vedic culture, it's anti-women. No, Vedic culture is totally about women. It's just the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. It's not about women. But the bulk of people are grihasthas, so therefore the prominent thing's about women. But the point is you don't want it to make it sound like it's about women. It just has to be about women without making it sound like it's about women. That's the whole thing. Because if you make it prominent about women, then where's the elusiveness? Where's the shyness? That's why it has to be about them, but it will not appear that way. And whatever you do that's about them, even though that's what they want, they'll be contrary. Well, that's not what they want.
So the husband should deal with the wife in that way, and not necessarily so many direct instructions and stuff like that. Like,
no, point is you've said the instruction once, she remembers it, just like she remembers what the husband was wearing and where they were and what music was playing the first time they met. Well, he couldn't remember that at all. You understand? So it's those instructions she remembers. So the point is the effort being put into it, that's what's of value. Because the instruction's already been heard. She already knows that.
So you don't tell it to her again. That's when they...
Yeah, and then when you say, I told you so, that's here it says, where was it? They cannot tolerate even a slight offense. So saying, I told you so, that's not a slight offense. That's a major offense. You know, so even, but that, and so then you say, okay, I didn't say anything. You just have that smug look. Now it's, you know, not as gross offense, but it's still an offense. Slight offense means you were trying to do it nicely, but you did something she doesn't like.
So saying something again would all, if you say something and when you say it again, that could be taken as an offense. So then you do the...
It's not a matter of taken as an offense, it is an offense.
Pardon?
It's not that it's taken as offense, it is an offense. Because the point is you're supposed to work according to their nature. That's what men can do. That's the meaning. Men can do that. Women can't. So in consideration of their nature, they'll do something connected with the men. But the men will do something in consideration of her nature. It's different. It's opposite. So that's the thing. It's all about, but at the same time, that's why we're saying about the independence. Because if you're not independent, how do you maintain it? Does that make sense? So the balance of this, that's what we're talking about. This is where it gets complicated. Not modern people don't like complicated, even though everything has to be, you know, to do with technology. But they're unable to deal with anything that's emotionally complicated. Like that. So that's why all this is scary, because it's a real... You have to use your intelligence. It's a real commitment. It takes practice. It takes time. You know, it's not like one of these, you know, you read a book, get a few points, and now you got it. You know, no. This is even you get the points, practice them, and after time, you'll be good at them. And even if you're good at them, that doesn't mean you stop. That means it's just like, let's say you're good at driving a car. Does that mean now you can stop being good at driving a car because now you're good at driving a car? How about 20 years after you've become good at driving a car? Can you now not be, you know, at what point can we just be ourselves and relax and stop having to drive the car nicely?
When you get your own driver.
Yeah, when you have a chauffeur, then you can do that. But make sure you have a good chauffeur. You understand? So the point is this idea is that, oh, I've gotten that, so now when I just be myself. If you just want to be yourself, why get involved with women? Right? That's the whole point. You know? You don't get involved with women. That's why Japan made those little 3 foot by 3 foot by 6 foot, you know, cubby holes that they call a hotel. Those are for men. Right? If you're with a woman, then it's, you know, there's the door, you walk in, then there's the place for all the stuff, then there's the bathroom, then there's the whole big thing and the sitting and all. That's the one that the women go to.
That's why the guys act silly with each other when they're on their own, and then when they act silly around, I saw one time I was acting silly around his wife and she chastised.
Yeah, of course, because that's men's stuff. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? It's intellectually playing with things. Women don't do that. For them, silliness means playing with the emotions. And then the men will go, what's this? That's stupid. So
playing
just
with
that.
The emotions? How's that silliness is playing with the emotions? What does that mean? I don't understand that statement. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. Got a long way to go here.
Okay, I'll take that.
In other words, women, it's about the emotions, and they connect, they use the logic of the emotions, while men use the logic of the intelligence. And so when men are being serious, they're working in that, and when they're playing in that. You know? Yeah, I just saw this chicken, it was like that. Wow, hey, you know, what happened? The chicken was this big and like that. Yeah, you know, whatever. You know, it ate Chicago, and they're all just going on. The women are just going, what are they talking? Well, this is so stupid. Right? So the women are, it's the same, you know, they do it in emotions. That's all, you know. Yeah, you know, I went to this place that made me sad. Yeah, I was at the mall the other day and I became sad because of that. Oh, yeah, when I was at the mall, I saw these great shoes and all that. And we're going, what has that got to do with reality? But in that's how they were. And they're thinking, the men, how they're moving through these, what do you need a big chicken for? And why would it eat Chicago? You know? You know what I'm saying? You understand? So that's why Prabhupada said, men will never understand women, women will never understand men. But there's enough that you can work together. That's what you have to understand. So this idea is, yeah, no, I got it down. Then that's an idiot.
Transcendentalists stand back and just shake their head.
Yeah, because the point is the transcendentalists, they work perfectly with women. They know how to deal with women. That's the whole thing. Okay? Urvasi continued, my dear king, you will be able to enjoy with me as my husband at the end of every year, for one night only. In this way, you will have other children, one after another. Footnote 6. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 39. Although Urvasi had adversely explained the nature of women, Maharaj Puru Rava was very much attached to her, and therefore she wanted to give the king some concession by agreeing to be his wife for one night at the end of each year. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, unable to enlighten him, she again pacifies him. Because, you know, it should have been, he just, you know, came to that realized platform and then acted on that way. But because he couldn't, then she, okay, then. Yes.
Puru Rava is considered the great king. So,
yes.
Can we say that this was his weakness and we take the greatness of him?
It means he's a great king. We didn't say he's a great grihasta. You know, in other words, in ashram, he's attached. So he's stuck there when he should move on, but he's stuck. But it doesn't mean that as a king, he doesn't know how to do his duties nicely. You know, it's just like the guy is an idiot at home, but he goes to work and he's fabulous. You know, like that. So that's the way. So if he's a great king, then we mean that he protects the citizens and takes care like that. But it doesn't mean that he's necessarily good in the ashram. Generally, if he's a great king, he would have that, because he deals with her nicely and everything. So if the Gandharvas hadn't come and did what they did, it wouldn't have broken the relationship. But Indra specifically sent them to break the relationship, because then she's not in the heavenly planets. Like that. And so you can see how attached Indra is, because a year here is just one day there. So she's been gone a few days, and it's kind of like, oh, this place is empty. But, you know, and he's not about to wait 3 months, right? So that'll be his whole lifetime. So.
Be correct in saying that women are always fair and just. You see that she's been just.
Yeah, no, they're fair and just. And he says, whatever is the input, that will be exactly reciprocated. So that way it does. That's the point of the religion. Religion means, you know, action and reaction. It means what is the nature of one thing another when they're combined? What does that produce? Like that. Does that make sense? That's religion. That's what's not understood is religion. Right? You take a blender, you take a papaya, you put the papaya in the blender. Then these two natures, because one's soft and one, you know, moves very fast. Then you combine them, you end up with papaya juice. Now let's say I take the blender and I take a nice rock and I drop it inside, turn on the blender, I end up with a broken blender and maybe the rock's a little chip, maybe not. So that's the thing, is you have to know what's the nature of things, how they combine, what they can do. And if you don't know this, you're not trained, you're not educated. That's religion. We'll say, no, that's just practical. That's what religion is. What's the actual practicalness based on Shastra? So this whole modern thing, oh, we're being practical. It means we're being practical just using how much of religion we've observed and we know. And so for some people, they can do quite well. And most people, then they don't do very good at all. So, understanding that Urvasi was pregnant, Pururava returned to his palace. At the end of the year, there at Kurukshetra, he again obtained the association of Urvasi, who was then the mother of a heroic son. Having regained Urvasi at the end of the year, King Pururava was most jubilant, and he enjoyed her company and sex for one night. But then he was very sorry at the thought of separation for her. So Urvasi spoke to him as follows. Urvasi said, "My dear king, seek the shelter of the Gandharvas, for they will be able to deliver me to you again." In accordance with these words, the king satisfied the Gandharvas by prayers, and the Gandharvas, being pleased with him, gave him an Agni Stali girl who looked exactly like Urvasi. Thinking that the girl was Urvasi, the king began walking with her in the forest, but later he could understand that she was not Urvasi, but Agni Stali. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on verse 42. When he praised the Gandharvas, they were pleased with him and gave him a sacrificial vessel so that he would attain Urvasi by performing a fire sacrifice. But because of complete infatuation with Urvasi, blinded by love, he thought that the vessel was Urvasi. Wandering in the forest with that vessel, when it came to time for sex, he understood it was not her. Srila Prabhupada adds, "This indicates that every man attached to a particular woman knows the particular characteristics of that woman during sex life. Thus, Pururava understood during sexual intercourse that the Agni Stali girl was not Urvasi." So, this is the... Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "King Pururava then left Agni Stali in the forest and returned home, where he meditated all night upon Urvasi. In the course of his meditation, the Treta millennium began, and therefore the principles of the three Vedas, including the process of performing yajna to fulfill fruitive activities, appeared within his heart. When the process of fruitive yajna became manifest within his heart, King Pururava went to the same spot where he had left Agni Stali. There he saw that from the womb of a Sami tree, an Ashwata tree had grown. He then took a piece of wood from that tree and made it into two Aranis. Desiring to go to the planet where Urvasi resided, he chanted mantras, meditating upon the lower Arani as Urvasi, the upper one as himself, and the piece of wood between them as his son. In this way, he began to ignite a fire." So that's the Upanishadic principle. See, the higher, you have the lower, and the connection between them, that is children. Like that. That's one of the principles. Like that. It gives five different ones. You understand these, you actually understand how the creation works. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The Vedic fire for performing yajna was not ignited with ordinary matches or similar devices. Rather, the Vedic sacrificial fire was ignited by the aranis, or two sacred pieces of wood, which produced fire by friction with a third. Such a fire is necessary for the performance of yajna. If successful, a yajna will fulfill the desire of its performer. Thus, Puru Rava took advantage of the process of yajna to fulfill his lusty desires. He thought of the lower arani as Urvasi, the upper one as himself, and the middle one as his son. A relevant Vedic mantra quoted herein by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is Sami Garbhad Agni Mantaha. A similar mantra is Urvasyam Urasi Puru Ravaha. Puru Rava wanted to have children continuously by the womb of Urvasi. His only ambition was to have sex life with Urvasi and thereby get a son. In other words, he had so much lust in his heart that even while performing yajna, he thought of Urvasi instead of thinking of the master of yajna, Yageshwara, Lord Vishnu. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so we can see here is that the same process for generating fire for the yajna is being followed by Puru Rava and also by other great personalities. We see all these other kings. Rishabhdev was performing yajnas, Bharat Maharaj, so many were performing yajnas. But they're thinking of the Supreme Lord, he's thinking of his wife. Right? So they're acting in pure goodness, or the Brahmins are doing because this is their duty and goodness. But we see here he's acting in passion. But the activity is exactly the same. Right? That's the thing to catch, is that the Vedic system is one system. But the point is it's supposed to be used to please the Lord, not ourselves. So Puru Rava is using it for his own purpose. Right? So that's using the lowest form of that. Right? So Dharma Artha Kama, that's your lowest. Then using Dharma Moksha, that's higher. But Dharma Bhakti, that's the highest. Right? Does that make sense? From Puru Rava's rubbing of the aranis came a fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are invoked with the combined letters A, U, and M. Thus the fire was considered the son of Puru Rava.
So, he didn't have a son?
Yeah. The fire was his son. That's not a son?
That's what you look at it.
Means we're... Means the whole... In other words, you could say he's the one who introduced the yajna into the world. So then Treta Yuga, then yajna is the process, but he's the one who ushered it in. Like that. Because everybody has to appear from somewhere and like that. There, you know, some connection so that we are happy that it didn't just appear. You know. Srila Prabhupada comments. According to the Vedic process, one can get a son through semen, sukra. One can get a bona fide disciple through initiation, savitriya. Or one can get a son or disciple through the fire of sacrifice, yajna. Thus, when Maharaj Puru Rava generated the fire by rubbing the aranis, the fire became his son. Either by semen, by initiation, or by yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra Omkara, or pranava, consisting of the letters A-U-M, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the words Nirman Tanaj Jata indicate that by the rubbing of the aranis, a son was born. Oh, okay. So that would mean through A, you get a son through sacrifice. Sacrifice. Through U, through Savitra. And through M, through Sukra. Yeah, so the Omkar itself, because it includes all of them. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
This is Om in English, A-U-M, but actual Om is a Chandrabindu also it has, and that is not being considered.
That's because in here, that's the Lord's transcendental pastimes. Because the point is you're going to do something. That's what the U is, means that there's this activity.
Mm-hmm.
So then the place and then the actual interaction itself, that's the Chandrabindu.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like that. So A is Krishna, U is his internal potency, M is the living entities, Chandrabindu is the place, and I think the Chandra is the place and the Bindu is the activities.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other way around, one or the other. You know? No?
No, it is like this.
Okay.
The pastimes of the Lord is the Bindu.
Okay. And then the place is the Chandra. Okay. So then he used this process to get a son. That's right. But in this, he could do yajna to get the Lord, or to get service to the Lord through the internal potency. Right? But he, you know, was more of a karmakanda man. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda.